ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. सो वी आर रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम द 8th चैप्टर ऑफ द 7th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम टेक्स्ट नंबर 50. श्री गांधर्व उचु वयम विभोते नटनाट्य गायका येनात्मसाद्वीर्य बलौ जसा कृताः स एष नीतो भवता दशामिमां किम् उत्पथस्था कुशलाय कल्पते वाई. ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदान स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. द इनहैबिटेंट्स ऑफ गांधर्व लोक प्रेड योर लॉर्डशिप वी एवर एंगेज इन योर सर्विस बाय डांसिंग एंड सिंगिंग इन ड्रामेटिक परफॉर्मेंसेस बट दिस हिरण्यकशिपु बाय द इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ हिज बॉडीली स्ट्रेंथ एंड वेलर ब्रॉट अस अंडर हिज सब्जुगेशन. Now he has been brought to this low condition by your lordship. What benefit can result from the activities from such an upstart as Hiranyakashipu? Purport. By being very obedient servant of the Supreme Lord, one becomes extremely powerful in bodily strength, influence and effulgence. Whereas the fate of demoniac upstarts is ultimately to fall down like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu and persons like him may be very powerful for some time, but the obedient servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the demigods, remain powerful always. They are victorious over the influence of Hiranyakashipu by the grace of the Supreme Lord. I'll just read the translation of text 49, which is also part of today's discussion. The Prajapatis offered their prayers as follows. O Supreme Lord, Lord of even Brahma and Shiva, we the Prajapatis were created by you to execute your orders, but we were forbidden by Hiranyakashipu to create any more good progeny. Now the demon is lying dead before us, his chest pierced by you. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, whose incarnation in this form of pure goodness is meant for the welfare of the entire universe. So, Hare Krishna. Today, I would like to take the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and the senior devotees, so that I may be able to speak something for my purification. So this series of verses where all the demigods are offering prayers and they have accepted the supremacy of the Supreme Lord of Hiranyakashipu, whereas Hiranyakashipu, he has always tried to deny the existence of the Lord, he being a hardcore atheist. In fact, some time ago, this one stand-up comedian, means there are comedians who just stand and speak something and make people laugh. So one such comedian called Bill Maher, still living, he made a comment out of trying to create some humor in the audience, and he said, let's face this problem of today's time. And he said, what is the problem? That God has a very big ego problem, because he wants us to always worship him. And he was commenting. So here we see that Hiranyakashipu is also such kind of person who does not want to accept the supremacy of the Lord. In fact, those who don't accept the supremacy of the Lord, they also have a bigger ego problem. that they don't want to worship the Lord. Some person may try to be neutral that, okay, I don't want to worship the Lord, but I don't mind anyone worshipping. You will hardly see such an atheist. There is no humble atheist in this world. That he is neutral, that jisko jo karna hai kare. Atheist means he has a bigger ego problem. That he wants to deny the existence of God. That is what Hiranyakashipu did. That he disrupted the entire the laws and orders of the universe and tried to establish his own supremacy. And he disturbed everyone's dharma, duties, the laws and orders. And by that, he wanted to establish his own law and order. So in fact, he was wanting someone else to be subordinate to himself. Not that he was just denying the existence of God, just because he could not understand. But he disrupted everything just for his own convenience. He disrupted the basic dharma of all living entities. That is the difference between demigods and demons. Here we have seen over the past of few days that all the demigods, how they are offering each prayer, and each of their prayer is kind of offering to Narsingdev, thanking him to restore that universal order which he had maintained, which they were in charge of. Each demigod is praying with respect to his services to Narsingdev. That's the difference between a demigod and a demon. A demon does not want to follow the laws established by the Lord. And a demigod, whatever he does within the laws which are given by God. Dharma. In fact, dharma is translated in many places like religiosity or basic nature, or it is also translated many times as the laws. But in fact, in one of the codes of our scriptures, it gives a greater dimension to this word dharma. It says that dharma actually means the rita, which means the breath of the cosmic life. Dharma is not just one's own duty, but it is the basic, it's the breath of the cosmic life. So if any individual living entity, he does not perform his duty properly, it contributes to the disturbance in the whole cosmic manifestation. And therefore, those who were wise in these religious codes, the earlier kings, they always ensured that proper following of the rules and regulations and duties of each and every individual is following his own allotted code of duty, code of conduct. Every king ensured, not that the whole kingdom is following, okay, just we have this bunch of few people, we can neglect them. Those who neglected were strictly punished. So we see, in the Vedic culture, it was, the dharma was not just as a kind of mass performance, but it was an individual performance, and there was an emphasis on individual performance. And not just an emphasis that way, but also an awareness that if one person does not follow, it will disturb the entire cosmic manifestation. So dharma were these duties. Today's society is more concerned with rights than duties. We see every person, like, just take for example children, they are more concerned with their rights, what my parents should be doing for me. But what they should be doing for their parents is none of their concern. So therefore it is said that unless one knows what his duties are, one actually cannot know what his rights are. Without knowing their duty, when one tries to focus on the rights, he will always be misled. He will ask for more. He will demand more. And that is the present situation in this current scenario, why the chaos is there in this world today. Women are concerned with their rights. But just recently I had heard one comment, one person was telling that his wife was telling that I don't want to waste my precious youth cultivating children and, you know, being pregnant all the time. So we just see how women are, even not just women, but please don't take it personally. We have seen this is the current trend in the society today. Everyone is concerned about what I am supposed to enjoy, what is my right, what you must do for me, but what are my duties, nobody is interested. The rights are given by the society by neglecting the duties set by the scriptures. So you can just imagine how much ever there is a trying, how much ever we try to balance the rights of an individual without the duties in place, it cannot lead to a proper society. There will be certainly chaos. And that's what we see what Hiranyakashipu did. When he got into power, he just thought, what can I achieve? What is my right? My it is right. And he did whatever he wanted. As a king, he should have been more concerned about his duty, how he can lead a proper society. But that was not his concern. His concern was just whatever right he could acquire, not about his duty. And therefore, when Narsingdev appeared, each demigod is glorifying one attribute which has been restored by his power. So here in this series of verses, we learn there are two very interesting things which we can learn. First is that how the demigods, in the matter of their discharge of their duty in the process, although they were disturbed and stopped for some time, they were not discouraged. They kept on pursuing. Their faith was not disturbed. And it is not that Hiranyakashipu was just a temporary stopgap personality coming and appearing and doing something. He actually ruled for many, many years. Somebody know exactly how many years he ruled? Because I was trying to find out. So, at least we can understand that he was not ruling for 5 or 10 years. If he did austerity for millions of years, he must have ruled for many, many years. So, during that period, ruling for so long time, all the demigods' position was disrupted. And in spite of that, none of them, for so many years out of service, they did not lose their hope. They maintained their faith and their hope on the Supreme Lord. And they kept pursuing. They were always dependent on the Lord's protection. So this is one of the things. People expect the Lord to protect them, but they don't want to depend on Him. They don't want to depend on their laws. So we see current society is actually a Hiranyakashipu civilization. That when something goes wrong, people expect that if God was there, it was His duty to protect us. They remind God of their duty. But they never, in their good times, they don't want to depend on the Lord. So demigods are showing under whatever situation, a wise living entity should always maintain his dependence on the Lord and seek protection from Him. This is one thing. And another thing is that demigods, this is what I found so interesting. Demigods, although so many years they were suffering, in mundane world when we see that when some suffering is afflicted on us, suppose someone wants to enjoy some sense object, but when that same sense object fails to give some enjoyment, or if there is frustration in acquiring that sense object or in the process of enjoyment, a person starts feeling frustrated. Even for small experiences, somebody loves someone but he gives him or her up. So then they write poetries as if they are sages, most detached and very wise poetries. Some old Hindi film songs, if you hear, they seem to be written by sages. Such wisdom. So a little bit of frustration causes so much detachment and wisdom. But here the demigods, they have been suffering for such long time, but still they have not given up their hope to enjoy. This is so vividly understood when we read the prayers which they were offering. In fact, this is the nature of every conditioned living entity, every nitya baddha or a conditioned living entity, that he is very ambitious for his plans to enjoy the material world, although he keeps still suffering all the time. The demigods, when they were suffering through the torments of Hiranyakashipu, and although wise in scriptures, that did not develop some kind of, at least the current series of verses do not depict that. Each demigod is actually thanking Hiranyakashipu for what he has given back to him. We'll see what, like Brahma, see the prayers, how they go. Brahma, he has an identification that he is the creator of this world. And that is his duty. And therefore, when Hiranyakashipu is killed by Narsingdev, Brahma offers these prayers to the Lord that you create and you maintain, and also by your power you destroy. Then he says, but you yourself are not deteriorated. Brahma knows that he also creates, he has this power, but he undergoes deterioration. So Brahma's offering of the prayer is based on his identification as a creator. So he sees, oh Lord is a better creator than me, he is a greater creator. And he appreciates Narsingdev that, okay, you have restored my power as a creator. Lord Shiva, he glorifies Narsingdev in the mood of anger. That anger, your anger is supposed to be during the time of annihilation, not now. Because that is the nature of Lord Shiva, to destroy the world. Indra, who is so concerned with his own share of sacrifices on all the living entities, what each one is offering. So see what Indra is offering the prayers. He is saying, first of all, how Indra says, he says, our share of sacrifices. Then he says, which is actually meant for you. He says, that was taken away by Hiranyakashipu, but now you have restored it. So thank you, my Lord. Then the rishis, who are used to doing austerities and penance, they are praying that you have restored, by killing Hiranyakashipu, you have proved that those who perform austerities and penance, they are on the right path. The pitras, who are more concerned with what their ancestors, descendants. Pitras are concerned with the offerings of the descendants, the Shraddha ceremony. So see what Pitras are saying. You killed Hiranyakashipu, who was forcing the enjoying the Shraddha ceremony, which were supposed to be for us. So it is like thanksgiving for giving something back. The Vidyadharas, the Siddhas are praying that we are naturally supposed to be perfected in all kind of eight mystic Siddhis, which Hiranyakashipu snatched by his powers. Thank you, Lord, for giving back to us. The Vidyadharas, who can appear and disappear, they are praying that Hiranyakashipu snatched this power and we had to behave like mundane creatures. So, thank you for giving us back these powers. Manu, who is concerned with establishing the Varnashram system, he is praying the Varnashram system was destroyed by Hiranyakashipu, you restored it. Prajapatis, who are concerned with creating progeny, which was stopped by Hiranyakashipu, they are happy that now they can create good progeny. The Gandharvas, who are concerned with singing and dancing, they are praying with that respect. That we used to perform dramatic singing performances which were appreciated by all. The Yaksha, who are controlling the 24 elements, their power is restored. The Vaitalikas, we'll be reading later. They said that we used to receive lot of glorification because we always used to be chanting your pastimes. Now that appreciation is not gained by us. Why? Because he just took away our power to chant your holy names also. So each one is praying. So we see here that although all these demigods, they waited for Lord's appearance for so long, and they were frustrated for so long, still, when the Lord appeared, what they asked for or what they were happy and excited about was their own identifications restored. Therefore, a conditioned soul, a Nityabaddha living entity is also, Nityabaddha Jiva is also termed, as Prabhupada mentioned one place, as Upadhi Jiva. That an entity condition entity is a upadhi jiv, one who needs designation to exist. He cannot exist without an identification, a physical gross identification. Upadhi in this material world, when we see that upadhi, this designation, it seems to add to our existence. Like for example, sometimes people say, you know, our parents also say, बड़ा होके क्या करोगे, कुछ पढ़ो, you know, कुछ बनना है. You have to become something, be something in this world. So to be something, we try to acquire additional qualities, like let me become an engineer or a doctor. We try to acquire designations. A conditioned living entity, the concept is that designation is adding to my existence, or it is increasing my glory, or it is, you know, that is the concept. But in Sanskrit, especially in the reading in the Vaisheshika Sutras, I failed to discuss this in the Brahmachari class, but very interesting. The Vaisheshika Sutras, they give this definition of upadhi as upadhi is a limiting condition, a self-limiting condition, a condition which limits one's own existence. That is called upadhi at various places. Prabhupada also mentions this definition, that upadhi is not what adds to one's existence or one's, but it limits one condition. That is called upadhi. This is material designations. And not only that, actually upadhi gets more subtle. Like the soul, this material gross body is considered as an upadhi on the soul. The moment the soul acquires this gross body, this upadhi, then he starts feeling insecure. That's the nature of this, the nature of upadhis or designations. When one accepts a gross designation of this gross body itself, one feels insecure, and then he wants to do something or the other so that he can create a fulfillment in life, which is impossible at the bodily level. And not only that, after having this, still we want to acquire more and more designations. We want to have more and more identifications. So therefore, the scriptures, they say that upadhi is actually a limiting condition, or it's a disguise. It's a limitation on one's own existence. In fact, upadhi is, it's actually a burden. Janma Aishwarya Shrutasi Kunti Maharani is praying that these designations are actually a burden. Even at the grossest level, we can understand. Like for example, if I want one designation to be known as Doctor so and so, just to be a doctor, how much burden I have to take for so many years just to study and get through it, just to have this two-letter word DR and then full stop. No satisfaction after that. Or engineer. Or whatever designation we want. It not only limits us, but it just suffocates. And therefore, Rupa Goswami, he gives this. We read this. Sarvopadhi vinir muktam. Why this verse is there? That does not mean the physical identification. But, the degrees. That rich man, poor man, beautiful, strong. It actually means one has to get rid of this completely, this bodily concept. Here the sarvopadhi, this upadhi, which in this verse, it refers to the bodily concept of life altogether. This whole body itself. So here we are seeing that demigods, and not only that, actually upadhi has one more characteristics. It also blinds the living entity. Therefore, here we see that although all these demigods, they have waited for Lord's appearance for so long, and when Lord has appeared, still because they are blinded by their own identification that I am supposed to be, all the time their ego is, the identification is so strong that I am supposed to be the receiver of these sacrifices, why Hiranyakashipu is doing that. So when Narsingdev appears, foolishly, their prayers just refer and thank. It's a thanksgiving prayer. That immediately they say, oh, thank you for giving me. And they are satisfied. And that's what upadhi does. In fact, they could actually, we see in Dhruva Maharaj's case that when he wanted something material, but because he had a more fertile heart, when Narayan appeared, he said, "I don't want anything, varam nahi aache. I just want your service." Just see what is the difference, the nature of devotees and demigods. Demigods, they are just concerned in the course of their performance of the duty towards the Supreme Lord. When one becomes attached to the upadhis or the identification, then one becomes attached to only the duties itself as independently. And one loses the connection that why he was doing that duty. Finally, the duty was meant to please the Supreme Lord. So here, every demigod is trying to please the Supreme Lord, because Narasimhadevi is so angry. They are fearing that Hiranyakashipu, he actually snatched away our position for temporary time. But if Narasimhadeva keeps on getting angry, our position will be snatched for good. Because his anger can destroy the entire world. So everyone is, chalo, let's please him. Start offering prayers. First of all, you read all these verses, you see, there is a confusion. Who should begin to start offering prayers? Because everyone is confused, threatened. Everyone is offering prayer with faltered voice. And each one offers prayers, gathering all courage. And because all he could think that Lord has done for me is he has given me my fruits back. That's what he thanks the Lord for. Lord has appeared. We see, all the demigods, they are praying like that. Till the worst, when the Vishnu Parshad, after all the demigods pray, the Vishnu Parshad, those who stay in the Vaikunth Loka, they offer the prayer, and they are the first ones who offer this prayer as glorifying the Lord's form. Oh Lord, your form is so beautiful. You have appeared in front of us. So just see, those who are servants of the Lord, when one's heart is pure, free from designations, the same activity, the appearance of the Lord, it appears in a different way. The same activity, the act done by the Lord. Everyone is considering just their own identification. But Vishnu Parshada, the first one who actually glorifies Narasimhadeva for his beauty. And not only that, everyone is here, all the demigods are deriding Hiranyakashipu, but demigods say, the Vishnu Parshada, the residents of Vaikunth Loka, they say that Hiranyakashipu was so fortunate, what a great fortune, to have been killed by you. So that is, therefore we see that one's offerings, in fact Prabhupada in one of the purport he mentions, that unless one's heart is pure and fertile, one will not even know how to offer prayers. So, we see here that all these different grades, as the grades of the living entities in this universe is increasing, the quality of prayers also keeps on changing. And here, therefore, when each demigod is offering his prayer, it does not please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because Rupa Goswami explains this. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Unless one is freed from this upadhis or bodily designations, when you are in a... Now Yogendra Maharaj was saying recently, malin man ki sabhi cheeze bekar hai. Something like that, he said. Like that. So when one is caught up in his own bodily concept, whatever he offers, it may be towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but yet it is impure. And therefore, although all the demigods are trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is not pleased. Why? Because all are just thanksgiving prayers. Until it is when Prahlad Maharaj... In fact, Prahlad Maharaj also, it's explained that why, with a faltering voice, he started praying to Narasimhadeva. He was also kind of faltering. But how? Prema Gadgadaya. All these demigods, they were also faltering in their voice, but that is out of fear. But Prahlad, he starts offering, his voice is faltering out of prema. And he offers his prayers. Just see how Prahlad offers his prayers. He says, Brahmadaya Suragana Munayotha Siddha. Sattvaikatana Gatayo Vacha Sam Pravaihi. First of all, he offers his, he expresses his humble state of heart. He says, Vacha Sam Pravaihi, this great personality like Brahma and other demigods, they have offered streams of prayers, expert prayers. Pravaihi, streams, flowing streams of nectarian prayers. He said, I am born in a family of asuras. I am not even qualified. So how can I offer a befitting prayer? And then again in the very next verse, these are the beginning of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. Beginning of the next verse, he says, what each and every demigod in his prayer he offered, that Prahlad Maharaj refutes in the next verse. He says, Manya dhanabhijana rupa tapa shrutaujas teja prabha bala paurasha buddhi yoga. That one may possess wealth, dhana, abhijana, an aristocratic family, rupa, wonderful body, tapa, austere, he may be performing great austerities, or shruta, learned person, aujas, teja, great sensory perceptions, bala, strength, one may be very wise. Even if one has all these things, he says, na aradhanaya hi bhavanti parasya pumso. That by all these qualifications, one cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So although very young by age and not wise in managing the affairs of the universe, but this is what each and every demigod did. They appreciated Lord for restoring their beauty or restoring their singing abilities, their qualities, their powers of austerity. And therefore, they could not please the Lord. But Prahlad Maharaj says, just by a simple prayer of love, one can please the Lord. And therefore, when Prahlad Maharaj, in the whole Bhagavatam, there are a lot of prayers mentioned by various living entities. But never we will see in the Bhagavatam that there is a series of prayers offered by some demigods which are revered with the highest respect, like the prayers of Gajendra, an animal, an insignificant animal like elephant. What a species of life. Prahlad Maharaj, nothing so great about him. He never did any great austerities or anything. Kunti Maharani, no qualities. But their prayers are, you know, they are placed the highest in the Bhagavatam. And the prayers by the Vedas, the personified Vedas or Indra, hardly few prayers. One verse is quoted by Shukdev Goswami. Because not so important to learn those prayers. But that's what they're teaching. And therefore we learn this, that Prahlad Maharaj himself says that Gajendra himself, he satisfied the Lord by praying what? He said, Karo tume adabhra dayo vimoksham. That, my Lord, please free me not only from this current problem. What was the problem of Gajendra? That he was caught in the jaws of a crocodile. He said, oh Lord, please free me from this situation, but not only this. Vimoksham. He said, please liberate me from this whole concept of this bodily concept of life, this whole material existence. None of the demigods pray like this. That is so interesting. Therefore, in the first canto, this verse, the sages, they say, dharma swanusthita pumsam vishvakshenu kathasuya na utpadayed ratim shramayeva hi kevalam. That one may perform his duties and everything absolutely perfectly fine. One may even be offering perfect prayers. But if those duties and prayers and all those chants like Vaitalikas, they were also very good in glorifying the names and chanting the glories of the Lord. Gandharvas are also singing bhajans, not mundane songs. So in spite of all that chanting and all, because they became just attached to those qualities and abilities which Lord gave, they lost the main purpose. Vishvakshena kathasuya. Now the love for Lord, which was the main purpose for which all these abilities were given, that was lost. And therefore, although they offered prayers, they were not successful. And not only that, very interesting. Later when everyone failed, Brahmaji requests Lakshmi also. Now when we chant Narsing Aarti every day, we say Lakshmi Narsing Dev Bhagwan ki jai. A constant, the eternal associate of Lord Narsing Dev, Lakshmi Narsing. Lakshmi Devi herself, she denies to go in front of Narsing Dev. She says, I cannot go. I am scared of this form. And then Brahma requests Prahlad that please go. And then without fear, with full love, because his heart was developed with love and affection, it was, as Prabhupada says, again, without fine affection and love, one cannot even offer suitable prayers. And therefore, that is what we learn through this series of prayers, that the different levels, how we must be praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and seek His protection. I would like to end here. If anyone has any questions or comments, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai.